Firstly, could you explain to us the significance of Uluru itself to the First Peoples from that region?
So, you know, Uluru is considered a sacred site, so it has a history of spiritual significance to the Anangu people in and around that area. But it also has something greater than that. So Indigenous people right across the country, we've always like travelled, interacted with each other, followed song lines, and Uluru is kind of central to all that. So many other groups also have a connection because of those histories to Uluru.
Why did it take more than two decades for this decision to finally be put in place, even after land rights were given back to these traditional owners?
Yes, that's always a very interesting question, isn't it? Why did it take so long? You know, primarily it's because of racism, without a doubt. But one of the things we have to also remember is it was never okay to climb Uluru. So the very fact that the government returned, you know, management of return to the traditional owners a couple of decades ago, this is not something to be really celebrated, because it's like giving back something that you took that wasn't yours to start with. You don't actually get a pat on the back for that. It's about time is what should be said. So it has never been okay to climb Uluru, and the fact that it continued even after that ownership was returned is appalling.
Yeah, the thing that really strikes me about it, and somebody who doesn't really have a dog in the fight, such as it were, I remember back when Uluru was called Ayers Rock, and there was no real argument. There wasn't very problematic in changing from Ayers Rock to Uluru for most Australians, I would have thought, and yet this one has spurred such an emotional reaction.
Yeah, it's been pretty disappointing to watch some of the mainstream media's reporting of that and giving airtime to the likes of Pauline Hanson, you know, and their kind of skewed views about what it means to be Australian. So there's, you know, they've bought into this whole nationalistic idea that everything here belongs to anyone who claims to be Australian, and it's just not correct. You know, First People were here, Anangu, that is their country, and we are all guests and visitors in this space. And even Indigenous people like myself, to go there, I'm a guest and a visitor. And when people come onto somebody else's country, there are rules, there are obligations and responsibilities. And I think one of the things that Australians, using that term quite broadly, forget is that we actually have a responsibility to country, not a right to it. And I think that's what's missing with mainstream Australia.
So in terms of that responsibility and responsibility to sacred sites, is there a need for education? Because, you know, obviously people understand the significance of a church as a built object, as a sacred space, even if they don't necessarily, you know, find themselves being religious. But there's this disconnect with sacred sites for Indigenous Australians.
Yeah, there is a disconnect, and it really does boil down to those earlier ideas. So, you know, we're talking pre-colonisation ideas where land is to be dominated and to be controlled and owned, and that's actually a foreign concept to Indigenous people. So for us, you know, that is a natural forming landscape that was created during the period of creation from ancestors, whereas a church is built and then deemed holy and sacred. So for us, the landscape is, you know, completely sacred, the whole landscape, but there are significant sites also. So I do think education, I'm an educator, I think education is the key, but you also have to be willing and able to listen and hear and to think about the world differently. And I think a lot of people aren't there yet.
And I hate to sort of approach various groups of peoples as a monolith, but looking at the situation really across Australia for Australia's Indigenous population, the significance of this decision weighed against the outright racism that we've seen in reaction to it. How does that kind of fare out for people?
Yeah, look, it's pretty disappointing to see that outright racism. Like, you know, they announced a closing date for climbing Uluru, and what we saw is mass, you know, people running there to climb the rock. You know, it's not the rock, it's Uluru. This is a significant place. It's really disappointing. And mostly mainstream media, very disappointing to see the coverage. You know, a lot of it was framed in the way that Indigenous people were somehow stopping Aussies from something that they had some innate right to. And we can see it not only at Uluru, there are many places around the country that people of those places, so like Anangu or traditional owners, are fighting endlessly to stop the degradation of beautiful places that are, you know, 65,000 years old with connection to those communities. So it's right across the country where Indigenous people are fighting to maintain these significant spaces.
And just as a final point, indeed, that fight goes on. And the thing about this fight is it's so piecemeal in the sense that Indigenous people seem to claw back a little piece here, a little bit there, have a little victory here or there. We granted land rights back in 1976. Is it time to approach the legislation across the board, across Australia as a whole, and say this legislation needs to do better to give First Peoples more control?
Well, I do think that a lot of that legislation does need to be revisited, but it also is a double-edged sword. So what you're doing is asking the system that oppresses particular groups for permission to have space in there. So land rights was granted by the Crown over vacant Crown land. So it's actually a system that's set up to remove your ownership or your connection to place and put it in a system that will give you little bits of benefits. So land rights only benefited some people in some places. It wasn't available to all Indigenous people. And then we saw governments strip back some of that land rights over time, continually. So I think that the issue is that Australians need to think about is those issues of treaty, those issues of sovereignty. Because the idea of Terra Nullius was overturned in the 90s. So if we accept the proposition that people were here prior, then we have to accept the proposition that this is sovereign, unceded land, and something much more than land rights needs to happen.
Well, Bronwyn, really do appreciate you joining us, having a chat with us about this one this morning.
No, interesting topic. Thanks for having me.